talk while there. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to Guardian Radio AM and on the clock mashup man down Wednesday. Of course, what that means that Aaron Green is joining me and we are talking and analyzing the news. We have one or two topics that we want to analyze and we wonder, did you notice this? What exactly does that mean? And you know, I'm going to prod Aaron to say, man, you know you need to explain this, right? And join us today, of course, is Ian Munnings, who's going to be joining us as we have this conversation, as we analyze the news. And one of those two things that are trending inside the news that we wish to talk about, and one of those things that is trending in the news is immigration. Yeah. Right? Recently, in the Privy Council, big things happening, which resulted in the Minister of Foreign Affairs shouting kudos to the Privy Council. And of course, it also resulted in Fred Smith KC saying kudos for the same case. And I said, wait, both of them can't be kudosing the Privy Council over the same case and over the same judgment. Someone got to be the winner. Someone got to be the loser. It can't be both winners. And that's why I have Aaron and I have Ian here now to let us analyze that that court proceeding and the result of that court proceeding. But Ian, Aaron being the one who reads everything, I'm going to have her give us some more information on that and then we start the analyzation there. Go ahead, Aaron.
Good morning. Morning, Mr. Neary. Thank you for inviting me to do some more reading in April, you know, this poetry
month.
You
read better than me, so it's better than you read.
I don't believe that. But the article we're looking at is Mitchell and Human Rights Bahamas Praise Privy Council Ruling. And we're going to interrogate the ruling. I think, like you say, this headline in and of itself, this circumstance is worthy of interrogation as well. How could Mr. Fred Mitchell and Mr. Fred Smith, who seem to be, or at least Rights Bahamas, who seem to be on opposing sides of the table, be praising the very same ruling. Well, Progressive Liberal Party PLP Chairman Fred Mitchell yesterday praised Attorney General Ryan Pinder for, quote, beating back some misguided litigation to extract excessive costs from the Bahamian taxpayers, close quote. Mitchell was referring to a ruling by the Privy Council regarding the unlawful detention of Douglas Ngumi, a Kenyan man who was unlawfully detained for more than 6 years at the Carmichael Road Detention Center. Human Rights Bahamas said the ruling, once and for all, clarifies the law regarding detention practices. Now, you guys say, Mr. Neary, that in and of itself, if we just start right there, we don't even have to go to the case yet, right? The human rights group is saying, you know, once and for all, which means now we have a Privy Council. We've gone to the final court of appeal. We have a ruling.
A guideline.
Right. For the future that clarifies the law regarding detention practices. And we know that this is an issue that human rights advocates, but Rights Bahamas in particular, has been advocating around for decades.
But
right?
Stick a pin right there.
Yeah, yeah.
How many times you have heard of persons being detained in Her Majesty's prison seemingly indefinitely, but that we seemingly forgot that they are there? And later on, they come out and sue the government, say, man, sue us at the Bahamian people. They say, man, I've been held here for so umpteen amount of years and nobody seems to remember that I'm here.
I've heard about some that you hear about everything. I've heard about some that we haven't heard about in the media.
This is a common thing.
Yeah, more than my two hands could count.
Yes. So my question, I know you're going to delve more on it. How much does 6 years being locked up, not being charged with anything, worth?
Oh, boy, I get that article right here.
700 something.
Okay, so Mr. Nagumi sued the government and was initially awarded $641,950 in damages. But on appeal, right, to the Court of Appeal, that was increased to, I think, $750,000. And then I think in the Privy Council ruling, while they did not alter the initial award, the award by the Court of Appeal, $750,000, they did indicate that they would award him $50,000 for his initial 3 month detention. So basically $800,000.
And I want you to go back to what the Attorney General said regarding his position of the ruling.
All right. So from the article, Pinder says detention center reforms saving taxpayers millions.
Just pause there.
Right.
And that's why I asked you, how much does being locked up for 6 years worth? And then go read what the Attorney General says. It's saving who?
Taxpayers, millions. When I realize, not the people that did the actual locking up, because I wasn't there. I don't like lock people up, right? But us, the taxpayers. So let me start right at the top. Attorney General Ryan Pinder said on Thursday the government introduced, quote, reform mechanisms, close quote, at the Carmichael Road Detention Center to ensure that the law is followed and deal with undue delay in the deportation of detainees. The Attorney General was responding to a recent Privy Council ruling that said that the government must or should move expeditiously when deciding whether to deport people accused of violating the Immigration Act within 1 to 2 days. Otherwise, the lawful basis for the continued detention of the detainees falls away. Now, this is the Attorney General. Here's a quote, guys. In fact, on coming to office, I must have had 8 to 10 habeas corpus matters in front of me.
Can I pause you there again?
Yeah.
You said you know about at least 2 handful worth of cases.
Yeah.
And the from what I'm inferring from what you read just now, the Attorney General is saying that there's about 8 to 10 cases pending probably, habeas corpus.
No, that's, I mean, let's be.
I just inferring. I ain't
saying
that.
When he came to office, yeah, that's what he met.
Yes.
As the Attorney General.
8 to 10 cases.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
He said 8 to 10 habeas corpus matters in front of me at the detention center, where there was such a delay in deportation.
That's a problem,
said Pinder at a press briefing. He continues, think about this. I saw 8 to 10 of them in my first month or two. Each one of those damages are awarded in the range of $80,000 to $90,000.
And again, how much does 6 years worth? Now, mind you, I appreciate the $80,000 and the saving of money, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you detain someone unlawfully for who is unlawfully for 1 year, 2 years, and then you bragging that you give them $80,000, I have a problem with that. I don't care how much money you saving me, but I care about the Constitution, and I have a right to freedom of movement. To detain someone for 1 year, 2 years, and you just give them $80,000?
It is one of the most fundamental rights.
And then
rights.
Brag and say that we saved the Bahamian taxpayers? Something is wrong with that. Well,
first of all, you ain't save me any money. You save yourself.
But my thing
some
is,
money.
If the funds are coming out of the public purse, I believe that some heads should rule and some people need to be held accountable for whatever transpired, that it doesn't happen again.
Well, we need to figure out how to change the legislation to hold those who have responsibility responsible for these breaches in law and not the taxpayer. I don't know how to do that because it seems as if the political culture consumes everyone that enters politics. Let me continue.
Yes, ma'am.
We instantly, this is the Attorney General Ryan Pinder speaking, and we're quoting from the article, Pinder says, detention center reform saving taxpayers millions. We instantly put in a reform mechanism where our lawyers meet at the detention center weekly. Every single week, I have a group of lawyers meet at the detention center to ensure that the process of law and order as appropriate is followed. Since coming to office, we've had no habeas corpus matters filed against the government of the Bahamas on a delay with respect to deportation. Not a single one of them, saving yet again the public purse millions of dollars on unnecessary damages. Right, I have a question. That close quotation. Mm-hmm. I have a question. He said, since coming to office, we've had no habeas corpus matters filed against the government of the Bahamas on a delay with respect to deportation. Have you had habeas corpus matters filed against the government of the Bahamas on other grounds?
But we ain't talking about other grounds.
And are they immigration grounds specifically? Yeah. I just say it.
I see what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
But we're talking immigration.
Okay.
I see what you're trying to say.
Yeah. Okay. The Privy Council ruled in the case of Douglas Nugumi, a Kenyan man who was unlawfully detained for more than 6 years at the detention center.
Hold on. How long, when you say 6 years, this administration being in for 1 year, right? 1 year plus. Let's give it 1 year. Then we give the other administration 4 years. That's 5 years. Then are we going back into a different administration?
Yeah.
So we're going back to the first...
PLP?
Something is wrong, man. And we say, and so flippantly we dismiss these things. After three administration, right? This gentleman is trying to get deported or to be deported. And we just kept him to my door, but you can stay right here. No, we ain't deporting you no place. You lock up. You shouldn't have come here in the first place. You have no rights. Don't worry about the Constitution. You lock up.
Yeah. This is...
And no outcry, no outcry. To say, but I understand what we try to improve. But how did this happen?
There has been outcry, Ms. Nuri. The outcry has not been as large as it should have. And I think...
Who outcry?
The outcry has been by people who concern themselves about migrant issues.
Not that Fred Smith again.
That's your boy. What I'm saying is this. When people like myself talk about it, right, I try to remind Bahamians that if you only see this as a migrant issue, right, then you will ignore its importance. But if you realize that anybody can be detained, that people who are Bahamian citizens and have a right to be here can be detained as well.
I have this text here saying, but we house them, feed them. That should be enough.
No.
And the person had the
in fact,
to type that.
Listen, we got a call on the line that went red. After the call, let's talk about the freedom of movement and the prison system.
Mm. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good morning, Jay. Good morning to your panelists. You know, I always refer to a passage in the Bible which says that the Lord's lack. You know, I heard on one time in Europe where you had these mad officers who predicted that there was going to be rain, and it didn't rain. And you know what happened to them? They were fired because it didn't rain, because it was a national holiday, and they had to cancel all of their activities. That's how people are about their lords. You realize, CA, that $800,000 each Bahamian, we take a populace of 500,000. Each one could have gotten $1,500 from our sovereign wealth fund. We're just taking that money and just throwing it away left, right, and center because of these inept people that we put in this place. How it is that you have rules and regulations and nobody is overseeing that these things are carried out? Mr. Bell, again, just making these, I don't know what kind of statement. He is saying that these employers are not renewing their employees' work
permits,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So we spend like $30 million on so-called software for immigration. You can't track these things. You don't have nothing in the system that says, okay, this individual applied for work permit for this year. That's up to you. You send him out a notice. If he doesn't pay, you send somebody out there and make sure he pays. Come on, man. There's just so much slackness in this country. No wonder people can come into our country and do whatever they want to do. And, like, we don't have no laws. We keep saying that we are a country of laws, and we don't see it going on. See, unless we get serious and heads begin to roll, like they say, fish thing from the head down. And it has, you have to show these people that, you know, we can't continue to just throw our money. That's the Bahamian people money. We don't know where our money going. Anyhow. Have a good day.
I appreciate the call. Yeah. You had a passion, Aaron?
No, I mean, and because it's righteous. I mean, this is basic stuff. The concern that reared up in me when I hear, sorry, let me speak into the mic. When I hear the Attorney General say, we instantly put in a reform mechanism where our lawyers meet at the detention center weekly, right? It is 2023. I was working with Bahamas Human Rights Network over to 15 years ago, and they were focused on issues like these. And you're telling me that you have just implemented this protocol? I mean, so I understand the part that the gentleman is older than us, Mr. Newry, and you could hear by his familiarity with the issue and the way that he speaks, right?
Yes.
These are things that people who are not even familiar with the advocacy world just expect.
Mm-hmm. We have another telephone call, Aaron. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I agree with the previous caller, the gentleman, right? Why is the onus being put on the citizenry when we have hired, the authorities, put them in place, paid them a salary to enforce our laws, right? You're telling me when a work permit has expired, there's no red flag in the system? Who's monitoring these things, you know? Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, as we can see, the taxpayer is getting taxed because of lack of enforcement. And that's not acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't come out there and say the employers. You know, the onus is on the authorities to do their job.
And I hear you. I hear you, Carla.
And when work permit holders see that no one is checking, that is why you have a person applying or an employer applying for a certain kind of permit, and the person that has received the permit sees that neither the employer or the authorities are checking. They're working all over the place, right? And doing what they feel because slackness is so prevalent. Right?
Yes.
And at the end of the day, we, the taxpayer, have to continue to pay increasing taxes. We have to be more efficient in this country and do our, you know, I always tell a friend of mine, it's like, you know, nobody will work, but everybody getting paid.
Mm.
You know, mm-hmm. It has to change. And, you know, I think me in particular, being trained in the finance area, I think that if we are more efficient, and this doesn't just happen in the Bahamas, it's all over the world, but we're talking about the Bahamas because that's where we live. That's our country. We are the taxpayers, right? We have to stop this foolishness, party politics and everything, right? And run our country properly so that all of our citizens benefit.
Thank you very much, Carla. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
And Aaron, one of the parts what I have concern is it's the flippancy on the response of our ministers. We see the highlighting what the issue is, but it's quickly dismissed.
I see we have another caller there, producer, but I'd just like to say this, and hopefully the producer hear me and we go right to the caller, maybe even cut me off so I wouldn't say the whole thing. I am surprised that the minister, Keith Bell, and the former minister, Ellsworth Johnson, who have, prior to their career in politics, worked around these areas, right? Like, I am surprised at what it is they are producing for us. I'm just stunned. And so I can appreciate people are less frustrated with the fact that migrants are trying to live and work and more frustrated with what appears to be a dereliction and inefficiency to the point of ineffectiveness by the government. That's what is really frustrating.
It's frustrating.
People.
Let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning, caller. Caller, you there?
Go to the next one, producer. Can you hear me now? Caller? Line slide up if we can't hear anyone.
No problem. I'll call back to the lines and we'll be happy to connect you.
Let's repeat those numbers for them, Mr. Newry.
Nice of you to call them back.
323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259. And for our non-New Providences, we have a new number, 242-300-5720. Let's go to that caller, producer.
Go ahead, Corey. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Go ahead.
Just let me say something. You know, we talk about this efficiency of government, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is technology and rich environment. Do you know when the government started its digitization process?
Was it 1997?
No, 1968.
No, man.
Yes, you can check this on the website. We've been trying to digitize the Bahamas since 1968. We started with a huge investment for $10 million with a website that is the slowest, sluggish, whatever it is, in 2011 or something of that sort, right before BTC sale with the Singaporean people. We have spent, if you look at technology in the entire Bahamas, we have spent over $3 billion on digitization of our economy. But when you start to look at the hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars we've spent for digitization of a company called the government of the Bahamas. Now, here's the problem you have. A survey did in 2018 or so said that we have almost 40,000 workers directly, indirectly for government agencies, that PPP, what do you call it, people, temporary workers. We have all kind of definitions for them, right? It says that a digitization of government, and this is before your AI, a digitization of government will require less than 7,500 people to deliver all the services in government and government corporations in an effective manner. 7,500 when you're paying, they say even.
And I agree with you, C. Allen. Definitely right. We need technology to improve. And I know that we've been working on digitalization of everything.
You have young children, young kids today digitizing companies, taking them into the multi-multi-billion-dollar company on the instant today, right now, in various different tech hubs and whatever. But understand this. We're talking about the money we spent on digitization of government. We have yet to begin the digitization of the economy. See, it's the economy, in spite of if government is garbage, that will force the growth and expansion of our economy.
I get you, C. Allen.
I mean, C. Allen's right. What can we say about all of this? We should be further ahead now.
You know, we should be. And it sort of takes us back to the AI conversation. Producer, let's go to that caller right away because we missed one. AI is only what humans feed it.
Yes.
You know?
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. You know, I heard and I remember the former minister, Brent Simonet, speaking or touting the fact that they had, introduced or implemented all this response software at the Department of Immigration. But, I mean, I don't know if that was anything of any real significance or substance, or it might have just been new desktops or new printers, because I had reason to interact with the department a few years back with respect to obtaining a permanent residency for my housekeeper. And if you go up to the immigration department and you don't have, number one, a file number for your case, and number two, if they can't find the physical file, they will not be able to accommodate you or handle your request that day. And they have to locate the physical file before they can assist you. So this red flagging of whether work permits have expired, I really don't think you're that fancy yet.
Ma'am, thank you so much.
Especially if you still got to be dealing with a physical file, you know?
Yeah.
And I think also, too, on this immigration issue, and this is a sore point, but I think we have to be fair to individuals who've been in our country for many years, who contributed to our society.
But, Carla, how can you be fair to immigrants?
I forget. Sorry, ma'am, I forget. Go on.
No, you immigrants all over the world. Immigrants make up the population of countries. It is a known fact.
But they're here illegally. That's why we can lock them up for 6 years and don't care.
No. These ones I'm speaking of came here correct manner.
But imagine this: say you,
I could deal with him.
Say you are here illegally. We detained you. We are to deport you. and 6 years later, we kept you there. How much does that worth? You know,
I agree with you on that. Something is wrong there. That has to be fixed.
And we are bragging that we give them $50,000 and $40,000 for keeping them for 8 years plus. You know, something is wrong with that.
Ma'am, but thank you.
Thank you very much, Corey.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Newry. Why you did that to me?
No, man, I gotta invoke emotions because we are dismissing the point.
You evoke a lot out of me just now.
But we look like we have another caller.
Yeah, let's go to the
caller. Then I want to respond.
Yeah, yeah. Good morning.
Go ahead, caller. Caller girl one. Go ahead. I hear you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Newry.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm all fine. Newry, you know, I get telling us, I can beat this in the head. The morals of school got this country destroyed. 80% of people in our parliament are lawyers. They know exactly what they're doing. You see that first bit and them already have a field day. If I were the prime minister of the country, I would fire everybody in the attorney general office and hire the young people. They know what they're doing, though. And yet, and she said directly, taxes has to come. This country is corrupt. Are they doing this for us? These people don't like us, so we're behaving. They don't like us. And none will change this country until we get rid of them with the 2 miles. Thank you for taking my call, my brother.
Thank you very much, man. But go ahead, Aaron.
Freedom of movement in the prison system. Freedom of movement when prisons were, when prisons were created, right? But the whole idea, like the European perspective on prison, is like the freedom of movement, by restricting that, is the worst thing you could do to a man, right? Like that is a severe punishment. By controlling a man, telling him when he could bathe, when he could use the bathroom, when he could eat, when he could see the sunshine, all of these things, right?
Does that worth any money, though? It could be worth the $80,000 with the... AG said, man, we give them the attorney to $80,000. They got to be satisfied with that because they're immigrants.
But look at it from a different perspective.
No, 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 no. And if you allow it to happen to immigrants in your own country, it can happen to you, too.
Yeah, I agree.
Boy, I almost run on this bad foot I have here.
I just saying.
I know you almost make you get up just now.
I'm just saying. That's what it seems.
Well, you know, I always put a man down, but I almost go on with it just now.
Let's go.
We have a caller. I don't know if y'all give you more than $80,000. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning, Mr. Neary.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, morning.
It sounds like you almost catch Mr. Neary by the neck.
You should see how vexatious she was.
But listen, my foot didn't wake, though.
Thank God she can't walk.
That's okay. She can hop.
Oh, okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Neary and Ms. Green, listen, the immigration department itself needs the reform.
He's reforming the place.
No, no, no. He needs to start from the office where those people are working. That is where the holdup is. Because if the person who, Mr. Pender is saying that they don't have this holding of persons over a period of time since he came into office, can anybody prove that? Is he saying that all the persons captured during their time in office for the last year has already been deported?
I'm comfortable with that. If the AG said it's so, it is so. I'm comfortable.
Right. I think, you know, you see the thing that they did, they set up the station in Inagua.
Yep. Yeah.
And they take migrants detained on the water to Inagua, process them there, and then deport them. That is a part of the... I think that's one of the other reform mechanisms.
Let's commend them on that then.
Well, I don't know if we're commending them on it yet, but... It is a response.
Mm-hmm.
It does speak to the issue mm-hmm. that was addressed by the Privy Council about the speed with which you process them from detaining to the deportation order to actual deportation.
So that's why Fred Smith's so happy?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I understand that, but I'm still concerned that he is only seemed to be focusing on one area. I think the immigration department itself. Mm-hmm. And another thing is, I think within government, the entire government system, they need to do something with these permanent, quote-unquote, permanent secretaries, because a lot of things go through them, it never gets to where it's supposed to be, because they lag on it. You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
Inefficiency in governance from the top down.
Yes.
I appreciate
so they
that.
They need to start the readjustment with immigration from the Department of Immigration, not from the detention. You're going down to the bottom.
Well, I think
down to the bottom of it to start the reform. No, you're supposed to start the reform from the top. Come down.
Okay, right. Thank you very much.
I think that's a sound point that she makes, mm-hmm. right? You are putting Band-Aids on the symptoms of the problem. We need to go into where the policy and the structure, right, where everything emanates from. And I think mm-hmm. if we create reforms, real reforms at that space, right? Because hostile conditions and hostile environments create hostile cultures. Mm-hmm. And this is not just for living environments, but for working environments as well.
Where should the policy start and where should it end? We're looking at years and years
of focus on Bahamians.
Don't be talking
right.
about that.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying let's where it begins.
We're looking at if somebody come into our country illegally. We all for as Bahamians that you should be processed and sent out of the country. You didn't come the right way.
Right, no, that's
what I'm saying to you is what about those particular children that have been living here in the Bahamas, who've been born here, who've been going to the system?
Are they Bahamians in Britain?
That's alarming. They're over 18. No, they said you could apply at 18.
You ain't here with the Chief Justice saying.
Back, I'm going to talk with that.
I'm not sure if you should have, if it said that they go back to the country of their parents' origin and tell 18 to apply. But my thing is that these particular persons that are in our society, have been in our society, whether or not they're contributing or so forth, mm-hmm. they've been collecting funds and they've been handling the funds. They can't put it in the banks. They can't get an NIB card. They can't get a passport. What happened to those persons? Are they going to continue to stay in limbo? Or are we going to clean it up from
let's
that
talk with that. But let's go to the caller. But let's talk with that. I want to, after we finished engaging the caller, I want to know, should Bahamian and Waiting, whatever that is, have rights? Should they have it? Well, do they have any rights? They have the rights. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
CA, good morning. Good morning, Aaron. Good morning. I forgot your name, my brother. Ian. Good morning to all of you. You know, a very interesting conversation this morning, again, a very interesting conversation with the previous caller. In fact, the previous caller hit on two of the points that I wanted to bring up as well. You know, the main fact here is how can you regard or how can you extend legal measures when illegal activity has occurred? That's like telling the robber, let's rob the shop. You met him with the merchandise and everything. Oh, we're going to arrest you, but you keep the stuff. You see, this is the type of thing that we have to stop in this country. We cannot reward given legal documents and stuff to persons who have committed a crime by coming into this country illegally. The second point
let
here
me,
is...
No. Let me engage you,
go ahead.
Jeff. Jeff, you have any children? Just quickly.
No.
Just answer. Okay.
No.
Let's give you one child, right? For now, 6-year-old child, he hopped the fence. He went inside your neighbor's mango tree. He robbed the neighbor's mango tree because he's going to open up a little mango sale. The neighbor catch him, your child. And when the neighbor catch him, he cut your child behind. Weigh him up, bruise, break his foot, mash him right up. Because what the child did was against the law. What you going to do to that neighbor?
In a case like that, you gotta take retribution against the neighborhood.
And that's the point. That's the point. Even though someone break the law, you can't break the law also. You're enforcing the law. And that's the point.
So in essence then what you're saying to me is that the Bahamas government would be breaking the law by the law on the books. Okay, the law is on the book. Okay. The law is on the book. As far as that part is concerned, is it clearly defined that the person would stay here in the country while the parent is deported?
The law is on the books.
Okay. That's a subject that I'm going to really look into again.
Listen, don't mind.
I'll come back to you with it.
Yes, sir. Don't mind Cecily baiting the two of us in here today.
You notice that I paused, right?
Yeah.
The law is on the books.
Because I paused I know he's baiting me. But he's also causing me to think at a much higher level now. But when I respond to him, then the answer I'm going to give him is going to be spot on.
Good.
But anyway, that's only one part of the equation. The second part, the previous caller mentioned, you know, the investigations, and I'm sorry to put it this way, but for some reason, I feel like the devil's advocate today. Because it started with Morning Blend this morning, and I'm going to continue it now. You know, the Department of Immigration, you know, there's so many questions swirling from that one department. It's so sad that the innocent persons who are hardworking and dedicated, mm-hmm. there's still this dark cloud over that says that there's some of them doing some undeserving stuff that needs to be questioned. You know, it's just the systems that we have in this country that should not be broken are so broken. It's so much controversy, so much stuff, and yet we have no ministers or nobody coming up to help clean the mess in the public domain. How are we as a society supposed to suspect that everybody hired, not just in immigration, but many of these other ministries, that they are doing what they are supposed to be doing according to the law?
I appreciate it, Jeff. Jeff,
right,
you got to go.
And who's responsible for ensuring that that happens? So great points made, man.
Let's go to the next caller. Producer, pass the caller through. Go ahead, caller.
Ian Murray, Alan Green.
Morning.
Ian.
Yes,
Pastor
sir. Mabule.
All right, Louis George is here, man. You're having a great conversation. Listen, Jeff prompted me to call, you know.
Go ahead.
And Nuri, I would like to give kudos to you for that analogy.
You can cause these people call me immigrant again. I don't appreciate your new age behavior.
You don't have Jamaican roots anyway.
Don't bring up the Jamaican thing inside there. You know exactly what I'm trying to do. But go ahead. Go ahead, Louis. Go ahead.
No, but I just want to give you some kudos, Surreal, on that analogy that you gave on the fact that, you know, because somebody breaks the law, it doesn't give another person the rights to also break the law and abuse that person's human rights. And I think that is the element that, you know, oftentimes we miss in this very emotive, you know, subject and conversation, is the fact that you're dealing with human beings, all right? And I think that is the point also that the previous council was trying to get across. I would also like to give kudos to this administration for seemingly putting measures in place, you know, to deter and to mitigate from such things happening again with persons being at the detention center for months. And, you know, we've seen before where persons were at the detention center for years. Hopefully, you know, certain measures can be put in place for the Fox Hill prison also, so that we protect, you know, Bahamians and not just migrants who are coming into the country. But however, you know, we have a constitution that protects the rights of people in our jurisdiction, not just Bahamians. I think people miss that also, the fact that the Constitution speaks to the rights of individuals. Mm-hmm. Of course, Bahamians may have more rights than others in the Bahamas, of course, you know, in regards to certain things, but the mere fact that you're dealing with people, human beings, they have certain rights. And I would say this also, lastly, a few years ago when we were, you know, fighting for the conditions and at the Carmichael Road Detention Center, you know, to change, and also for persons to be the rule of law and for persons to have due process and taken before the courts before being deported and that sort of thing. It wasn't to try to tie up the court system. It was actually to protect the persons who were born here in the Bahamas, mostly adults, who are being caught in the immigration rings and nets and, you know, interdiction exercises, who are not being processed or being taken before the courts and just thrown on a plane and taken out of the country. It was a protective mechanism for them. And lastly, regards to what Jeff was saying earlier, deport the parents and, you know, leave the children. No, there's nowhere in law that, you know, where that happens. There's nowhere in the process where that happens. In fact, if parents are arrested and there are minor children, whether they were born in the Bahamas or not, those kids accompany their parents while their parents are being repatriated to their home countries. And upon 18, they can make application to seek to come back to the country.
Yes.
Thank you, man. You guys continue.
Man, I appreciate you, Luby, for calling. We have another caller here.
Yes, it's free.
You know, I setting up Luby, too. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller, girl, once. Caller, can you hear me? Caller, girl, once. Call a girl twice. I guess I call a God. Is there such a thing as Bohemian loop and Wheaton? And Luby hinted towards it. And do they have any rights?
Man, listen,
my point is,
I don't have my whole folder here with
yes,
me, right?
But I know you had them.
We referenced the conversation with the Chief Justice at the, I think, the Eugene DePuch Law School distinguished lecture series. So he wasn't speaking from the bench, mm-hmm. right? This is not official. This is not an official statement from the court,
mm-hmm.
but the Chief Justice in his commentary at the event said that, and I assume as far as he is concerned, right? Because
mm-hmm.
remember, Keith Bell talked about people having opinions. He's sharp, that these provisions don't say that you have a right to apply at 18. It says that you have to wait until 18 to put in the application, right? But not to apply for it, but to say that you are going to choose Bahamian. You intend to take Bahamian versus the other citizenship that is available to you, and that you could start that process before you turn 18 even.
Let's take one more call before the break. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Then right after this, we go to the break. Caller, can you hear me?
Hello?
Go ahead. You're my last caller before the break.
Yeah. It's kind of, I know you guys don't, but it's kind of frustrating for a law-abiding citizen to hear all the things going on and having to pay taxes and stuff when it always seems like everybody advocating for the immigrant or everybody else but the heat. When we know, like, I don't know if you've ever applied for Crown land or have to put in the bid for land or you bought land and got to wait to do all your things the correct way. And no one seems to advocate for the Bahamian who's being disenfranchised in his own country, where you could drive now and go to shantytowns, their buildings, and no one, everybody turns a blind eye to it. And everybody's, oh, the poor immigrant, but you have Bahamians here languishing, and no one seems to advocate for, like, don't we see the laws being broken? Do you? You could drive to shantytowns right now and people building, and yet no one says, you know what, that's not fair. You know, Bahamians are different, disenfranchised. How in the fall of the laws? Yet you know that you and I and everybody know there's laws being broken right now where people are building illegally, but everybody for years turned a blind eye. It feels like when is someone going to advocate for the Irish Bahamian? It's frustrating. And every time you turn on the talk shows, everybody advocates for the immigrant, but you are Bahamians supporting the law and trying to do the right thing. Uh-huh. No one seems to.
But, Carla, we got to go on a break, but let me help you advocate. I say bulldoze every last shantytown in Alabama.
We go into the break, right?
Every last one, bulldoze.
Just before we go to the break,
even the Bahamians living inside the bulldoze on.
To the caller who just hung up, right? Before you started speaking, I was writing down, Mr. Newry could testify. I wrote down, underlying this, Bahamians are saying, without saying, but you said it, why are foreigners receiving better treatment? That's how Bahamians feel.
Bulldoze on.
Their caller. People are advocating for Bahamians, and people are listening. I don't know if it's Mr. Newry, but we got to go to the break.
I'm the immigrants one. Bulldoze on.
Guardian Radio AM. We'll be right back after this break.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman, does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328 tips or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300 tips or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them and the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone. So nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio in the AM with Mr. Cecil Newry on this Man Down Mashup Wednesday. I just want to continue to respond to that caller. Dear caller, I appreciate the frustration that you are expressing. I say this on my show all the time. I pray that somebody would advocate for the Bahamian people the way that Sandy Sands, the Bahamas Hotel and Tourism Association and tourism workers lobby for tourism, right? Bahamians are frustrated, not at Haitians. They mad at Haitians. They are frustrated that systems in their country don't work. And they're saying, with the myriad of issues that are out there, why does it seem like those that say they are advocates are only focused on issues that
for them?
No, or no, that the migrants face, right? And I want to say to those people, I'm with you. When I realized who I was, I also realized I had to advocate for myself. I realized that nobody else was doing it. And if I wanted it done, I would have to do it myself. We also have to start getting up and advocating for ourselves. That's not to discount the frustration or, you know, the interrogation of government systems. They're not working. They're not effective. They're not efficient. But if you allow these atrocities and breaches to happen to foreigners, they are going to happen to you and citizens in your own country.
We have more callers here. Producer Patch to call through. Good morning, caller. How are you doing today?
Yeah, good morning. Again, right? Mr. Sanui and Ms. Green. Yeah, Louis seemed pretty bold, right? But, you know, I'm kind of vexed with the media for this. Nobody has sought to ask Mr. Luby on air and catch him off guard. Where is his allegiance lies? That's what I'm saying. Where is his allegiance, right? That's what I'm saying. And so he's saying our country, we have a constitution. But the human rights, like the last caller highlighted the way I feel also. Who is advocating and buffering against, for the Bahamian people? Them? And so, you know, it's all well and good, right? Let me give you a perfect example. There's a Haitian lady in the corner, a friend of mine for like over 30 years. I go to her, we know all, like, no children, and like, cousins, everything. Now, I went there in the rain yesterday, and I had on a raincoat, and I had the hood pulled over. She know me well, the daughter knows me well. But apparently her brother, who's a newcomer, he's looking at me in such a way. So I had to let him know, you are the stranger, my brother, okay? So this is what we're going through. So I don't know who he is, whether he was in the army, whether he was in jail, whether he's a body man, whatever. I don't know nothing about him. So the fact that we have these people coming here, whether they're coming on the plane or not, immigration is not moving around doing what they're supposed to do.
Well, thank you very much, caller. Let's go to the next caller. Producer Patrick, call through. Go ahead, caller. Caller going once. Can you hear me? Nothing? Let's go to the next one. Caller going once.
Yeah, I see you had a call back. See, let me just ask you a question.
Go ahead.
If somebody's caught in the Bahamas who is illegal, what should be done with them?
You go to the court, eh?
No.
That's the law. That's what the law says.
What the law says? I remember as a man of following
laws. Yeah, you can't just send them in the country.
You detain them.
Okay, after they would have gone to the court, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they have found to be, have illegally entered the country, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
They should be deported, right?
What happens is the magistrate may ask for them to pay a fine, and or if not, then they would have immediate deportation out of the country.
Right. And so what should happen to their children?
Oh, these people have children? You mean the ones that are living here, or are you talking about the ones with...
No, I'm saying if they have children in the Bahamas,
mm-hmm.
should they be deported and their children?
The law speaks on that. The law doesn't separate children from their parents. Usually they get deported with...
The parents.
With the parents. So however, those children have rights.
Rights at 18.
No, they have rights.
They have rights.
18.
Not just 18, they have rights because they were born here.
Not just that. So we have documentation of parents.
Where in the Constitution does it give them rights?
Here's what happens, right? There's the Constitution and then there's the Nationality Act. Mm-hmm. The provisions of the Nationality Act are presumed to be constitutional until they are shown to contravene the Constitution, right? And so while you were saying, where is it in the Constitution, until those provisions of the Nationality Act are shown to be unconstitutional,
so
they stand as good law.
What are the provisions in the Nationality Act that gives these children legal status in the Bahamas?
Okay, so let's go through a couple of things, right? The first thing is this. What I'm going to say to you is that the Nationality Act, I think it is Article 6, because the last conversation we had, the gentleman asked to referenced Article 5. I think it's Article 6. But parents can go to the relevant agencies, immigration, and they could have their children registered before they turn 18. It is at 18 when you become an adult that you have to make a determination of whose country, which citizenship you're going to take on. They wait until 18 till you become an adult and you make the decision. But from you're born, right? From you're born, and this is what I import, this is what I infer from the Chief Justice's comments at the Eugene DePuch lecture recently, right? A couple of weeks ago, is that you are a Bahamian, and you also have the citizenship of the other country. The Bahamas allows you to hold that until you're 18, when you're an adult and you could make the decision over which one you choose. We have heard in the public domain parents get up and say, oh, I done been to immigration and registered my child. Yeah, we go abroad. Yeah, we live in the States. Mm-hmm. But I went in and I didn't wait until 18. And you can go in and do that. The question is, why aren't Haitian migrants doing that? That's the question for me, caller.
Okay, move on. Let's see if it's the last caller. Nope, no one there. So let's continue the conversation, Aaron. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I think, Aaron, that the mere fact that I think the Bahamians are frustrated of the mere fact that when taxes are coming upon them and they're looking at certain things that they're paying, like rent and mortgages and so, et cetera, and they have to pay these things, right? And these persons are living in those particular rural areas because nobody else would want to
live
with us.
Yeah, man, listen.
And they're not paying it. Watch this. I think that's the frustration
There is a legitimate frustration. I'm mad at it, right? And Bahamians are like they're sandwiched between a rock and a hard place, right? Mm-hmm. We look at tourism and high-end tourism and the displacement of Bahamians in spaces where they should have a right to be and should be, right? Mm-hmm. Bahamians often say, well, look here, it's a tourism product. If we all making money, we all making money. I'm willing to sacrifice some privilege, some status, some access mm-hmm. for a machinery that I should be able to benefit from tremendously, right? Mm-hmm. And so we accept some little discriminatory reactions. On the other side now, we're saying, look here, I already eaten my feelings over here. Mm-hmm. Right?
You want me to eat it over here too?
Now, right. You want me to eat it over here. Yeah, the systems aren't working for me. And yes, I see the migrant putting in a little more weight than me, right? But it's my country. Mm-hmm. Why are these things this way? Bahamians are not, I don't think Bahamians are mad at Haitians. They are completely and totally frustrated with a system that every 5 years y'all convince us to buy into that you know you're not going to work properly.
Let's squeeze in this last caller before we go. Producer, pass the caller through and so we can conclude. Go ahead, caller. You have the last 2 minutes.
Good afternoon, CA. I need 30 seconds.
Go ahead.
And to Aaron and everyone in the studio, quick question. If two people enter a country illegally, whether intentionally or unintentionally, or if human trafficked, because that's even worse, and have a baby, does that make the two parents now legal? I'm asking that to Luby George because he said his parents were illegal.
He said nothing like that.
But that's a point that you put on the table, though. I think the more important thing is this.
Well,
does it make the child illegal, right? That the parents entered illegally or by illegal means, right? They were trafficked and they, whatever reason, a child is born. Does that illegal activity, because the people aren't illegal, is the illegal activity make the child's presence in the country illegal? Does it make the child itself illegal?
I think that's not an issue. Our constitution gives the rights to the child.
Right, but the issue is, are people aware of what the constitution says?
But Aaron, it's the same thing happening globally. You go to America, the Bahamians go to America all the time, and have a baby in America, right? That child has become American. You come back here, they have to pay to see the doctor.
So. Yeah, but again, that the child has rights, but the parents does not have rights.
Right.
And we have laws.
Just follow the law. Our law is clear.
Anyway, let me repeat the articles we were reading from.
Pay rent.
Unlawfully held. Mitchell and Human Rights Bahamas praise Privy Council ruling. Pinder says detention center reform saving taxpayers millions.
Gotta go to the news.
There you go.
Anyway, I appreciate you, Aaron. I appreciate you, Ian. Guided Radio on the AM with On the Clock with Aaron Green. Have a wonderful day.